Gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing there idly all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first hired came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But the landowner replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious? Do you have the evil eye because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We meet the characters of the parable that Jesus tells early in the morning, at dawn, 6 o'clock. There is the owner of a vineyard who needed to hire workers, probably to harvest grapes. There was always a supply of day laborers at the market, so he goes there and he agrees with them that he'll pay the usual daily wage, 1 denarius, for the day's work. Commentators differ, but this wage is understood to have been enough to feed a family, perhaps for one day, perhaps for as many as 3 to 6 days. Now the vineyard owner seems to need more workers. So he goes out again at 9 o'clock and he hires more laborers, assuring them that he'll pay them what is right for their work. We're not told why, but he goes out again at noon and then once more at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And finally, one last time at 5 p.m., only an hour before the end of the workday, telling them that he'll pay them what is right. So at the end of the workday, at 6 o'clock in the evening, he tells his manager to settle accounts, and the people who came last and worked only 1 hour are paid first with a full day's wage. We don't learn their response, but the people who were hired 12 hours earlier, we understand, see this, and they conclude that they're going to be paid commensurately with those who received a denarius for only 1 hour's work. When they receive that same denarius for 12 hours' work, they are unhappy. These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. They resent the vineyard owner's generosity to the workers who had a shorter day. But the vineyard owner isn't sympathetic. They received what they agreed to take for the day's work. Just because he is more generous to those who worked a shorter day doesn't mean that he's done the first hired wrong. This parable tends to offend our sensibilities too. It's not just the day-long workers. Our society has taught us that people should be paid fairly, receiving equal pay for equal work. And the application of that principle says that if we've worked more hours than another person, we should receive more money. But remember the first line of Jesus' story. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner, dot, dot, dot. It's not society. It's not fair labor standards that Jesus is talking about. It's the kingdom of heaven. So things are different. Now the laborers who were hired later in the day, not through any fault of their own, they were standing in the market because no one had hired them, were still needed to earn a living to support their families. So in the kingdom economy, in which people receive according to their needs, the 5 o'clock hires are paid what they need to feed their families, even if they weren't able to work the whole day. This treatment was not equal with the treatment of the other workers, but it was equitable. Although each person was given the same amount, they hadn't all earned the same amount if we consider the amount of time they'd worked. But all were given what they needed, and that was more than equal. It was equitable. This brings to mind the Freedom Dividend campaign of former presidential candidate Andrew Yang to pay all people in the United States $1,000 a month. Now, of course, that wouldn't have been enough for people to survive on, but it would have been a start at making sure that everyone in the country has the income they need. We approached that goal again with the $1,200 per person payment that all people in the United States received, along with enhanced unemployment benefits, when the pandemic hit us, when we were told to stay home, and many businesses that needed workers in person had to shut their doors. So their employees received unemployment benefits. It also brings to mind, at least to my mind, the work both as a litigator and as a jurist of the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Her focus was on the injustice in laws and in practices that prevented men and women from being treated the same. She had many male clients as well as the female clients, just to make sure that the laws were giving equality in both directions. And it also calls us back to the Black Lives Matter movement, in which hundreds of thousands of people in our country are demanding the same treatment of all people by the police, regardless of the color of our skins. Many of us seem to see the world as a place of finite benefits. If one person receives more, that must mean that another receives less. This seems to be the basis for the unrest among some white men who fear that the gains made by people other than those who look like them, including all people of color and white women, and also people who identify as neither strictly male nor female. They think that the gains made by these other people will necessarily mean that they will receive less. And like the people of Jesus' parable hired by the vineyard owner at 6 a.m., they are resentful of the good fortune, the benefits experienced by other people as they receive more. Resentment about other people receiving something, whether we receive the same thing we did before or not, is an unfortunate human trait. We hear it in Jonah's complaints to God about not destroying Nineveh for their sins after they had repented. Jonah's assessment of the people of that city was that they were undeserving of any benefit, any concession, any act of grace. They had been Israel's enemy for years and years, and he didn't think that they deserved any benefit. When God told Jonah that the Ninevites wouldn't be destroyed because they had heard the word of God, the word that Jonah preached to them, he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and he said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing." Jonah could have looked upon his mission as having been successful. His warning, the Ninevites, that their past behavior would result in destruction if they didn't repent, caused them to repent. But Jonah was not willing to give up his old resentment. Not only is Jonah angry with God, but he's so distraught that he finds no purpose to go on living. "And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Why can't he find joy in the outcome of his work? Why can't he accept God's forgiveness of the people of Nineveh? Some say that the book of Jonah is a satire because the characters behave so extremely. But it also points to the human tendency to be self-centered and to resent benefits received by other people, to begrudge them their good fortune. This attitude seems to stem from the fear I described before, that there isn't enough good fortune to go around for everyone. But that concept is exactly contrary to what God has told us through millennia of stories of God's relationship with people, those we read in both testaments of the Bible. That's precisely the opposite of Jesus' stories and his actions. The feeding, not once, but twice, of tens of thousands of people from what would have been one simple meal. The turning of water into gallons of the finest wine. The healing of people who had long-standing disabilities and chronic illnesses. Even the return of life to others. So how can we, as a society, maybe more appropriately, as Christians, as people of a church, how can we step out of our insecurities and our fears to place ourselves in the shoes of others so that we can rejoice in their good fortune and celebrate the fullness of their lives? How can we allow ourselves to open up to God's goodness so that we live not just for ourselves, but for humanity? Let's pray. Merciful and gracious God, pry our stubbornness out of our souls. Train us to embody the generosity of Jesus. Teach us to love all of the creation in which you have placed us. Lead us to accept your abundance in our lives and in the lives of everyone else in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.